Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
We do belong together. Happy Friday, everybody in St. Louis. I'm Michael Kelly. Who's that over there?
Back at you. John Hancock here. John the Bachelor Hancock.
Whoa, what's up with that?
Well, I've my dear wife is away for a long weekend.
Yeah.
With her father, going and visiting their relatives in Detroit.
Mm.
And so it's just me and Gus at the house. It's a very bizarre feeling.
Are you not doing the, like, dishes? You're letting them pile
the
up?
And
the,
I am not letting them pile up.
In what fact, about ordering bad food? Are you ordering bad food?
Well, I had a little Caesar salad and calamari fritti for dinner last night.
Calamari fritti, is that fried?
It is.
Yeah, good?
It was very good. I put the calamari in the salad.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was very tasty. So I know I've got the house.
You know what
up.
Calamari is, right?
It's octopus, buddy.
Yeah, you like octopus.
Apparently
huh?
I do.
Ugh. Nasty.
Well, I got, you know.
Tastes like rubber bands to me.
I like the legs.
You're a leg guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do they have the ones with the little bitty legs, or are these just like giant pieces of calamari, like little circles that chew like rubber
bands?
Yeah.
But they are little circles, yes. Yeah. And not rubber bands. They're very delectable.
So what else would a bachelor do? You sleeping in? Well not obviously
morning,
today, but I mean like this weekend, you're going to make it to 10 a.m.?
Not 10 a.m. probably, but I will probably sleep. But I do have responsibilities because Gus is there, and he's got to get fed, and he's got a whole routine.
Yeah, but how taxing can life be for Gus? He lays around.
He's got to take his medicine. He's got to eat. He's got to go outside on a fairly regular basis. He goes for a walk every night. I took him for his walk last night. He did very well. We went on a full walk last night. Yeah. Well, it's actually a hop because he's got one bad leg.
Yeah.
So I take Gus for a hop.
And I'd love to see you hop.
We hop around out there and do our business and get home.
I went to an event last night at Third Degree Glass. You ever been there?
No. Where is it?
It's on Del Mar between Union and Kings Highway.
All right.
I was at an event for Kids in the Middle. It's a charity that deals with kids that whose parents are going through divorce, and it's a great program. But it was my first event that I had been to at Third Degree Glass, where they had actual glass blowing that was going on.
They're blowing the glass right there.
Right. The guys have got these long tubes in their mouth, and they're spinning them, and they make beautiful objects.
Yeah.
It looked fun. I don't know that I'd want to do it.
You don't want to blow glass.
I'm afraid of burning myself.
Well,
you know,
it's a very, it's a skill, Michael, it's very delicate art to blow the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to have the consistency of the temperature, of course.
Right.
Because
the kilns.
Yeah, whatever they are. And but you want to spin the glass. It's a kind of a spinning action that you're going through there.
Yep.
Or you're blowing through the tube. It's a technical word for that tube. It's the glass blowing tube.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're teaching me some stuff. Well, I had a lot of fun there, though. That I encourage you, if you haven't been, they have a little shop there of various artists that have made things affordable stuff. You know, like you get a bowl for $25-$30.
$30.
So rather than going and giving somebody, something they don't want, I mean, it's some decorative, good-looking glass.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed my time there.
They have little designs on them, the glass?
They did. They had colors and designs. And then they had an auction item there to go see Andy Cohen at his Watch What Happens live show. It went for a lot of money.
Wow.
Got me to thinking. I wonder if we could have a Watch What Happens live with Hancock and Kelly.
Oh, I'd go for $25.
$25?
Yeah.
Where do you think Sunday mornings, that they could come in and look at you and I and Andy as we get ready before to do the TV show?
Yeah, yeah. That'd be a fine auction night.
Nearly a century of informing, entertaining, and serving St. Louis. KMOX.
Good morning, St. Louis. It's Hancock and Kelly in for our regular Friday gig. And at this time every week, we talk politics. Boy, it's a shame there's not much to cover this week.
Wow.
The world is crazy. There's no doubt about it. The President of the United States addressed the nation last night as it related to the crisis that's going on in Israel. He also tied it to Ukraine. Listen to this.
I know these conflicts can seem far away. And it's natural to ask, why does this matter to America? So let me share with you why making sure Israel and Ukraine succeed is vital for America's national security. You know, history has taught us that when terrorists don't pay a price for their terror, when dictators don't pay a price for their aggression, they cause more chaos and death and more destruction. They keep going, and the cost and the threats to America and the world keep rising. So if we don't stop Putin's appetite for power and control of Ukraine, he won't limit himself just to Ukraine. Putin's already threatened to remind Poland that their Western land was a gift from Russia. One of his top advisors, a former president of Russia, has called Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania Russia's Baltic provinces. These are all NATO allies. For 75 years, NATO has kept peace in Europe and has been the cornerstone of American security. And if Putin attacks a NATO ally, we will defend every inch of NATO which the treaty requires and calls for.
John, the president last night taking the opportunity to use the Israel-Hamas conflict to also tie it to the conflict going on in Russia and Ukraine, laid out a very solid argument. He's been steadfast since day one when Russia first invaded Ukraine and now since the attacks on Israel of our 100% support for both the Ukraine and Israel. Your thoughts on the president's speech last night?
Yeah, I think he has been very consistent. I find fault in his policy toward Libya. I think his policies toward Libya, going back to the Obama administration, have not been helpful for peace in the Middle East. That said, I think he has taken a very good position. He's been resolute with it. I think that's important. Going to Israel, I think, was an important step for the U.S. president to take as well. And I do agree that these foreign conflicts demand our attention. A lot of people don't feel that way. A lot of people think we ought to focus and just protect ourselves here in between those two oceans. I think that's a misguided approach to foreign policy, and I think ultimately that kind of an approach will create more chaos and destabilization all over the globe.
A lot of people also think that we seem to be solely siding with only the innocent citizens of Israel and not those of Palestine. The president had this to say.
We can't stand by and stand silent when this happens. We must, without equivocation, denounce anti-Semitism. We must also, without equivocation, denounce Islamophobia. And to all you hurting, those of you hurting, I want you to know I see you. You belong. And I want to say this to you. You're all America. You're all America.
We find ourselves in, like you said, the great conflict that's going on in our country right now seems to be this isolationist thought process that exists in both parties. And then this, the United States is really the world leader and the world safer when we're in charge. There's no doubt about it. The president of the United States is in that camp. He faces resistance. Missouri may be a perfect example of that, John. We have Josh Hawley and Eric Schmidt who have been wavering as it relates to the Russia-Ukraine thing, are steadfast behind Israel. Then we have our own congresswoman here, Cori Bush, who's out there in support of Palestine and
Hamas.
Saying that this and Hamas, then that this is a horrible conflict. I mean, this is just what this president's navigating, and it's not just one side. It's coming at him from both sides.
Yeah, and there's a real divide in the Democrat, and there has been for a long time, you know, and Joe Biden still articulates his support for the two-state solution, which would make Palestine an independent international state, a nation state. And that's been the position of Democrats for a long time. Israel does not favor that. And, you know, this whole thing over there is going to get pretty messy. It's already gotten very messy. You had the hospital bombing the other day that Hamas was quick to blame on Israel. Israel has debunked that. I think effectively, the United States intelligence has confirmed that Israel did not bomb that hospital. But the narrative throughout the Middle East is that Israel did bomb that hospital. And you've got many, many people on all sides of this thing outraged, out in the streets, both pro-Palestinian, pro-Israel, and it's all over the world. I'm very fearful that this thing is going to escalate and involve more players in the game.
Well, it sure feels like that's the case. And as the president made this historic trip to Israel in the midst of this war, he was scheduled to go to Egypt and have a conversation with the president of Egypt, Jordan, and the leader of the Palestinian Authority. That was canceled after this bombing took place.
Right.
At the hospital, which they immediately blamed on Israel. It's been proven now that that's not the case. But the tensions in the Middle East, particularly as it relates to the Muslim community and the Jewish communities, and this longstanding fit that these folks have had with each other since the time of Christ, if you will, continues to go on, and it rears its head almost daily.
Yeah, there've been flare-ups throughout. You know, you go back 50 years ago to the war in 1967. And they've had temporary flare-ups almost nonstop. But what we've not seen ever in Israel is a systematic, well-organized, multi-hundred, if not thousand, troop movement into Israel, slaughtering innocent women, children, taking the elderly and children and women hostage, taking them back to Gaza. And at some point, Israel's going to go in. You've had this large movement of people now moving to the south. They're trying to figure out ways to get, you know, humanitarian assistance in, whether it's water, medical supplies, some food. You've got all of these people standing outside the border to Egypt, and Egypt doesn't want them. Egypt doesn't want the Palestinians.
Yeah, and nobody's holding Egypt accountable for this. In fact, Egypt has not opened the border to allow the humanitarian aid to go in. But they're blaming the Israelis. I mean, I don't get it.
Well, the bottom line here is Egypt does not want a bunch of, you know, reactionary terrorists coming into their country. I mean, that's what this is about.
Right.
You've got these radicalized Muslims who are the people that did the disaster in Israel a couple weeks ago, and Egypt doesn't want any part of it. You know, they're trying to maintain a calm, stable government, and the last thing they want are a bunch of jihadists coming in.
Well, you talk about calm, stable government. We don't have one of those. In fact, we don't really even have a functioning House of Representatives. There's no Speaker of the House. Jim Jordan, the firebrand insurrectionist from my perspective, from Ohio, has been stepping up to try to run for speaker. He's been rejected twice. It'll probably happen for the third time today. He's going to lose. This Republican Party's in free fall. What is the Republican Party these days?
Well, I don't think Jim Jordan is going to be the speaker. And look, there are all kinds of different members of Congress, and you've got the institutional members who believe in, you know, the maintenance of order and running the institution, a functioning Congress, passing legislation. And you've got people that are there for a host of other reasons, maybe to elevate their own profiles. I think there's a lot of that going on in Washington. They might be there because they have a particular passion about something. And so they pour all of their energies into that thing that they're particularly passionate about. So there are different motivations. The reason that Jordan for speaker doesn't make a lot of sense to me is that he has never in his career, and I think he's in his 14th year, something like that now, or 12th, but whichever it is, he has never been a guy that has tried to come up through the institution and reach across the aisle to get some things done. Find areas where you can agree. Be supportive of your colleagues. Working through the appropriations process and ensuring that that's an orderly process and that the government is funded. All of those are things that members of Congress that are institutionalists will do. And those are the folks that build the relationships, and they begin to ascend up the leadership platform. That's certainly the way Kevin McCarthy did it. That's certainly the way Steve Scalise did it. That's certainly the way Nancy Pelosi did it. Your boss, Dick Gephardt, back in the day. That's how he ascended into the speakership, by being part of the solution. And Jim Jordan just is not that guy. And you may love Jim Jordan, and you may love his fighting spirit, but he's not a guy that can, and I don't think he would like the job of speaker, honestly, because of what demands of it.
What is there to lead right now in the United States Congress? I mean, the Republicans cannot agree on what day it is. Whoever gets this job, and it shouldn't be Jim Jordan, but even if they brought back the ghost of Ronald Reagan, they're not going to be able to mediate this ridiculousness that's going on in between the factions inside the Republican Party. It's unfortunate. Hey, John, before we step away, I want to tell you about our good friend Andy Banker.
Yeah?
Andy Banker is going to be participating in the 22nd annual barbecue chili cook-off.
Ooh.
Over there in Millstadt, Illinois. You ever been over to Millstadt?
Is the chili barbecued, or is it a barbecue and
chili? It's barbecue and chili.
See, we're not barbecuing the chili. That
no.
would be hard.
And Andy's on a rib team being led by Fox 2, which is our team, you
He's
and I, Hancock
Fox
and Kelly.
Team.
Yeah, and this is happening on Sunday, October 22nd, over at I don't know, Leiterkranz Park in Millstadt, Illinois.
Yes, Leiterkranz Park over there, where you'll be barbecuing your chili beans right there on the grill.
$20 to get admission to go eat some of Andy's ribs and eat some of that chili. All the proceeds benefit Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Go out and help our friend Andy Banker on Sunday. And don't forget, you can see Hancock and Kelly on Sunday on Fox 2.
Andy's ribs. There's nothing better. Hey, when we come back, what's this deal with Sidney Powell? That's next.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Happy Friday, St. Louis. It's Hancock and Kelly. Going to be a gorgeous weekend in St. Louis. Fall is upon us, John Hancock.
It is.
Best season here, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Can you believe? I mean, we're less, what, a couple months away from Christmas, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, this is happening. We got Halloween.
Pretty much every year. Buddy.
Yeah, did you go get your pumpkin yet?
Got the pumpkins.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And decorated the house?
The house is decorated.
Take the sheet off the tree so that you're ready for Christmas this year? Because I know you leave the tree up year-round.
Well, no. I mean, the tree is under the pool table.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you take a while to get it down. There was that
1 year I may have left it up until
Easter.
The Masters.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Hey, Sidney Powell was one of the folks that was hand in glove with Rudy Giuliani that was helping push the false narrative that the election between Trump and Biden was stolen.
The Kraken.
Yeah.
He was going to release the Kraken.
What is the Kraken?
Well, the Kraken was all the stuff.
The tea, huh? She was going to spill the tea?
Yeah.
And so she was one of the staunchest supporters. She had put out some of the most ridiculous of those statements. But again, she was hand in glove with Rudy Giuliani. She was a part of the conspiracy charges that took place in Georgia earlier this year. And she's the first of the defendants to flip.
Second, there was a minor player that pled guilty as well.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think she got a very good deal for herself. She potentially gets to keep her law license through this. 6 years of probation. She's got to pay a small fine. She's got to write a letter of apology to the people of Georgia.
That's weird.
And she can't speak. And I think this is the most important part of the agreement. She's got to testify truthfully when called upon. And she's not to speak with any of the other co-defendants or the press until the trial's over. So all things considered, she could have been facing some real prison time. And I think she negotiated a very good deal for herself. And there's all this speculation out there that she's going to be throwing people under the bus. And we'll see. But I don't think there's any guarantee of that, because we don't really know what happened. I mean, I thought the defense that Sidney Powell and Giuliani would take is that we were providing legal advice that our client wanted us to provide him. And, you know, the question in all of this, and this is a RICO conspiracy case being tried in Georgia, is, was there a knowingly false narrative? In other words, did all of these people know that the election wasn't stolen, and they then conspired to create the perception that millions of Americans to this day still believe. That's really at the crux of the RICO conspiracy. And I mean, Letitia, Fani Willis, the prosecutor in Fulton County, Georgia, she may be able to prove that case, but it's not been proven yet.
Yeah, well, and you have you have so many of these other cases that also include her. You know who does believe that what was being told by Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell was false was the Trump team, because they've argued in court in public documents that no reasonable person would believe what we were saying.
Well, that was Sidney Powell's, that's Sidney Powell's defense in the Smartmatic lawsuit.
Yeah, no reasonable person would believe what we're saying. Yet half of, one-third of the Republican Party, maybe more, has bought into this idea. And now you have to wonder, how does this affect the other cases? Now, this is happening in a state case in Georgia. But it's not happening in a vacuum. Jack Smith sees what's going on here. One would have to ask if he's now negotiating with her to participate in some type of similar agreement.
You would think, because any testimony she gives in Georgia, while she's cut her deal with Georgia, she's not cut a deal, at least so far as we know, with Jack Smith. And anything she would then testify to in Georgia potentially could be you know, troublesome for her in the federal case. So I assume that that her attorneys are speaking to Jack Smith and trying to reach some kind of an agreement there. One interesting insight I heard yesterday is that in these plea agreements, in the federal system, it is very rare to plead something down from a felony to a misdemeanor.
Right.
Which is what happened here.
They make you plead to a felony in the federal case.
Yes. So I mean, that's sort of the standard operating procedure. So, but state prosecutors have a greater leeway, and this is not that uncommon at the state level that you'll plead down. And there were 19 defendants in this Georgia case. The speculation is that several of them are going to reach a plea agreement and testify. And that's the whole point of bringing the RICO case in the first place, is to get that kind of participation.
So the walls seem to be collapsing around Donald Trump and his legal argument as it relates to January 6th. Folks are falling left and right, turning over state's evidence. He finds himself sitting in court right now in New York. He's choosing to be there in the fraud case that he's dealing with on the appraised value of his properties and lying to banks, etc. In the midst of this, we have these global crises going on in Ukraine and in Israel. Is it possible that Donald Trump may be slowly becoming irrelevant because of circumstances outside of his own control? He's controlled the media narrative for so long. Now everybody's flipping on him and the world's focused on other issues.
Well, there was a poll out this morning that among Republican voters, Donald Trump leads with 59%.
Good Lord.
Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley are tied at 8%. That's according to my calculations, Michael. It's a 51-point lead. I just think the chances of anyone other than Donald Trump being the Republican nominee in 2024 are minuscule. And if the things that have transpired thus far have done nothing but move his numbers north among Republican voters, there's no reason to believe that some subsequent information is going to come out that's going to change the minds of a lot of voters, who think he's being persecuted and blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you what I find interesting. We talked about it a little bit before the show today, but this profound distrust and dislike of politicians that exists in the electorate. I mean, there are people listening today who believe that every last one of them are crooked. They're part of the swamp. We've heard that term. They're corrupt. They're only out to help themselves. And I wonder, I'll just throw this on the table here. Are people like you and I responsible for some of that because of the way campaigns are conducted in this country? And if you think about it, for a generation or more now, every election for every office, you're saying my opponent is a crook, they're no good, they're unethical, they don't do anything, and their opponent is saying, yes, and my opponent is no good, and they're unethical. Well, we've been telling people that all politicians are corrupt and unethical and no good for decades.
And then we've had to use even stronger language, almost warlike language in the process. When it first started, it was, I'm going to go fight for working families. I'm going to go fight for you. Now it's, I'm going to blow up the establishment.
Right.
I'm going to go out and, you know, assassinate the nonsense. I mean, seeing where we're headed. Yeah, we're guilty of it. And I, you know, look at these school board races, John.
Right.
School boards, for God's sakes. These are about our kids. Library boards, fire boards are turning into the same type of narrative. We are just so into conflict and wanting to fight with each other.
Well, it's no accident that we've spent multiple billions of dollars telling the people that their government and the people who make it up are crooked. It's no accident that a lot of people believe that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people believe a lot of crazy things, and some of that is related to anti-Semitism. We're going to visit when we come back with the Jewish Federation of St. Louis, president and CEO, to talk about the changing environment that's happening to Jews across America,
and across the world.
Yeah. As anti-Semitism is on the rise and a conflict in the Middle East has put a spotlight on all of this yet again. Hancock and Kelly back after this on KMOX.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly, sponsored by Insperity, HR that makes a difference on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
And welcome back to the Voice of St. Louis. It's the Hancock and Kelly Show here on KMOX, and we're proud to be joined in studio by Brian Herstig. He's the president and CEO of the Jewish Federation of St. Louis. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
What a crazy, unbelievable time we are living in, particularly for our Jewish community friends here in St. Louis. Just your general impressions of where we find ourselves today.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we never thought that we were going to be here. And this has been a really, really difficult time for the Jewish community. Whether you are from Israel or not, and most of us are not, part of our hearts and our souls is in Israel all the time.
Well, there's no question about that. And I would think here in the St. Louis community, there's probably not a day that goes by where someone, a St. Louisan, is not in Israel. Right. Yeah,
absolutely. Not only do we send people all the time and different organizations do, there are a lot of people from St. Louis who've moved to Israel and now their children are actually being called up to serve in the army.
A lot of dual citizenships involved there. Several of them hostages now in Gaza.
Yeah.
The early onslaught a couple weeks ago when Hamas breached the barricades and came over in a coordinated attack.
Yeah.
Many of those coordinated attacks took place in kibbutzes.
Yeah.
Explain to our listeners, what is a kibbutz?
Yeah, kibbutz is a collective living situation where everybody in the community, mostly farming, but can be light manufacturing, lives together. Everybody takes on different responsibilities, taking care of the children, working in the fields, working wherever, cooking. You often traditionally would change those responsibilities. So every month or so, right, you do something different because everybody works as a collective together.
I remember in high school, my best friend in high school left and went to Israel to stay on a kibbutz for the summer. That's common.
Yeah, very common. And this is how the state was founded. Remember, this is a 75-year-old country that was founded in a desert, and they had to turn it into something viable. And so these agricultural kibbutzes were really the front line. And in this case, there are a lot of agricultural kibbutzes right along the Gaza envelope, and those were the first communities that were brutally attacked and murdered by these terrorists.
8 million people living in Israel today, give or take.
Yeah.
Massive loss of life already, unprecedented in the history of this country. I would have to imagine that most Israelis know someone or know of someone who was killed or taken hostage.
There's no 7 degrees of separation in Israel. It's 2 degrees of separation. If it wasn't your kid or your family member, it was your neighbor's. And that's what it's like in a country that is about the size of Rhode Island, where everybody participates in the military because they have to.
Yeah, they have to. And they are, and they are massed now at the border of Gaza. It's just a matter of days, I would think, before they move in there.
Yeah.
How do you see this conflict playing out? Is there any way to, I mean, Israel's military, we know, is absolutely exceptional, but this is a very challenging endeavor.
Yeah. I mean, the challenge is that this is a problem that's been going on for thousands of years. So it didn't come about quickly. It's not going to be solved quickly. You're also talking about two groups of people who are using very different rules of engagement. Israel has one of the strictest moral codes of any army in the world to protect citizens, whether it's their own or on the other side. But Hamas is a terrorist organization backed by Iran, and they do not have those same rules of engagement. In fact, as we saw the other day, they're shooting rockets from hospitals, churches, mosques, schools, one of which misfired and landed in the parking lot of a hospital. But they also have been stopping their citizens from leaving the north of Gaza, as Israel has recommended. 4 days ago, they gave 24-hour notice for people to get out. They have extended that because Hamas has told people don't listen and have put trucks in the middle of the road to stop them from going. It's really hard. Our hearts break for the citizens of Gaza who are being controlled by a genocidal terrorist organization and aren't able to make the choices that they need to protect their own lives.
Last night, the president of the United States took to the national airwaves, spoke to the country, and also tied this a bit to Ukraine and the aggression that's coming from Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
What did it mean to the Jewish people here in America to hear the president of the United States speak so firmly about our support of Israel last night?
Yeah. Think what you want about the president, and people have plenty of opinions. His full-throated support of Israel, which is the key strategic ally for the United States in the Middle East, the only democracy. It is our partner who helped us fight ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And so his full-throated support is a reflection of that, but extremely, extremely comforting for the Jewish community, knowing that this island that's, again, as big as Rhode Island and is surrounded on all sides by countries and people that want to destroy it has a partner.
So here we sit several thousand miles from Israel as St. Louisans, and you run the Jewish Federation. First of all, how many Jewish folks are there in the St. Louis metro area?
Yeah, so so there are about 60,000 Jews in St. Louis.
Okay, and what does the Jewish Federation do? Explain to us what your mission is.
Yeah, it's really simple. We are the Jewish United Way. We help raise and distribute funds for needs that are identified. We do a lot of needs assessment to know what is going on in our community, where are the needs, what are the gaps in service that exist. And then we raise funds, and the majority of them go to our 40 or so partners in the St. Louis area to support needs of not just our community, but the broader community. And some go overseas to Israel, to Ukraine, to anywhere where there's a Jew.
So a lot of that would be, like you said, to programs that typically the United Way and other groups would be supportive of. But here we find ourselves in these unique circumstances where Jews, unfortunately, are also being targeted.
Yeah.
So are you all coordinating some type of communication and response to make sure that the community is, one, informed, and two, has a message and a way to move forward in the midst of this craziness?
Yeah, part of it we do, but part of it we rely on our partners. We have certain partners like the Jewish Community Relations Council, the Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Committee. These are organizations that do this work specifically. Our job is to support them. They take the lead in developing relationships with our elected officials, with other faith leaders, bringing people together to address.
Okay. How could, I'm a Catholic.
Yeah.
How can a Catholic or a person of another faith be supportive of the Jewish community in this time? Obviously, there's probably heightened security at most synagogues, et cetera.
Yeah.
But so many of us find ourselves saying, we're supportive of Israel. What can I do?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you. So first of all, be informed about the truth. Hamas is an Iranian-backed terrorist organization. Find news sources that are reputable. There's a lot of not reputable stuff out there, obviously. Second of all, if you know, if you have a Jewish Jewish friend or neighbor. They're not all right. You can ask them. They're not. Provide some kind of support or words, because this is a really, really trying time. But I think the two things that people can actually do is there's a national campaign, a blue ribbon campaign, in order to bring back unharmed the over 200 captives that have been taken, which include 24 Americans dragged back to Gaza, mostly women, children, and babies. And the last thing is, at a time like this, the best thing we can do is support the needs that are going on the ground. Short and long-term trauma care, medical supplies, rebuilding, whatever it is. And you can do that at our website at jfedstl.org. 100% of the dollars that are raised go directly to the people on the ground who are being impacted.
Brian Herstig is our guest. He's the president and CEO of the Jewish Federation of St. Louis. Before we let you go, Brian, I have been blown away, shocked negatively by the protests worldwide in support of Hamas and the Palestinians. Anti-Semitism is very real.
Yeah.
And it's global.
Yeah.
And it's just hard for me to conceptualize that kind of hatred.
Yeah. And it's a lot of misinformation. There's not a genocide of Palestinian people going on. Their population has increased fivefold since Israel was founded. There's so much misinformation that's going on. And just understanding, Hamas is a terrorist-based, backed a group from Iran. There are good people on the other side who want to see peace, too. Those are the people that we want to talk to.
So again, for those of us out there who want to be supportive and helpful, your organization is a resource that we can go to. Can you give your website and phone number and all the information one more time, if you don't mind?
Sure. The best way is to go to jfedstl.org. We have resources, opportunity to donate, links to different resources and reputable news sources.
That is Brian Herstig. He's the president and CEO of the Jewish Federation of St. Louis. Thanks so much for joining us in studio today, Brian. Blessings to you. And when we come back, Michael, Apple is into it with John Stewart. That's after the news.
What defines us is who we are as a collective group and how we progress and gain momentum through the season.
The Coach's Corner with St. Louis City Coach Bradley Carnell. Mondays at 9:35 on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, Hancock and Kelly show here, John. I don't know if you saw this, but do you remember The Daily Show with Jon Stewart?
I know of it. I don't know that I've ever watched it.
So I guess it really got rolling in the 2000s, and Jon Stewart
ran
that.
It was all the rage there.
And he stepped away from it at the height of his show. He went from 1999 to 2015. He turned the low-rated Comedy Central into must-see television with his evening show. He stepped away from it after a while, and of course that brought us John Oliver and so many of the other folks that are a part of our culture as well. Well, Jon Stewart, just a couple of years ago, went to Apple, and Apple engaged him for a new program, and the program was called The Problem. I've watched it.
Was called, right.
And it's a cerebral program. It had a little bit of John Stewart humor, but it was more of a, he'd take an issue, childhood cancer or et cetera, just various things that were going on, and examine them from all different aspects and bring people together. Well, he was starting his third season of The Problem
on Apple. Where was this thing
airing? On Apple.
On Apple TV.
Apple Plus.
Oh, okay.
So Apple, obviously the biggest company on the planet. I think it's still the biggest company on the planet. If not, it's one of the top three.
Right.
They were getting ready to go with season three. And it comes out that the problem with Jon Stewart, even in the midst of production for the third season, has been canceled. And it's being canceled as a result of, Jon Stewart says, because Apple executives and he had disagreements over some topics that would be discussed, and specifically China and artificial intelligence. Well, Apple is a tech company, and artificial intelligence, I'm sure, is playing a big role in the products they're coming forward with. China, we all know that nearly every one of these tech companies and unfortunately, most companies make most of their products in China, and also those are their customers. And so one has to read into it that Apple suddenly took the editorial rights to say, no, Jon Stewart, you're not going to talk about these as the problem, because that is a problem that would directly affect us.
This is probably not unique, is it?
No, I don't think it is. And, I mean, Apple, you know, they've got a business model that they're pursuing. And this was a, you know, I'm sure a very small portion of their business is the Jon Stewart show, The Problem, whatever it was called.
Right.
And, yeah, they didn't want him to do something, and he didn't want to back down. And so they've parted companies. I mean, that's the way these things work. But I do think the larger issue here is the profound
two role. Very big issues.
Yeah.
AI, which is, you know, unfortunately our government needs to catch up with how quickly this is moving.
Yeah.
And number two is China, who is becoming, I mean, we just saw President Xi, I don't even like to call him president, but look, whatever, President Xi and Vladimir Putin holding hands and pledging their allegiance to each other and saying the biggest problem in the world is the United States. Well, here's our biggest company who makes all their products over in China, selling these products, making those products in China from somebody who's sitting with our archenemy and testifying that they no longer want the American world order.
And China is, I think, the greatest threat long-term to global stability of any of these countries. I mean, Russia's military has been exposed for its lack of sophistication and effectiveness, I think, in Ukraine. That's a good thing. They need to be defeated now in Ukraine. That would be a powerful statement for the world to show. But, you know, you hear, and it's really both parties, you hear politicians talk about
tough talk.
Yeah, we need to decouple with China. We need to pull out of there. All of which I agree with. My thing is, how are we going to do it?
Well, and that's the question, right? Josh Hawley is one of the biggest leaders of this anti-China thing. Don't hear him really talking about the fact that corporate America, the dirty secret is corporate America and the products that we buy in all of these places online or in these big box stores are coming from China.
Yeah.
And so if we're really going to put the screws to China, don't we have to ultimately put the screws to Wall Street and tell them, listen, you've got to Apple, Google, clothing companies, shoe companies. I mean, you could go on with everything, even the devices you and I are communicating on right here are made in China. We're so dependent on them. How do we ever move away from it?
Well, and I think, you know, I'm no expert on business matters, but it would seem to me that there are some things that are higher risk than others for us to be co-mingled with China on. Shoes and jackets and, you know, pants or whatever. I'm not greatly troubled if those things are manufactured in China. What I don't like is things that are cutting edge intellectual property.
Chips.
Yeah. Dependence on them for those things is, if you're going to decouple, I'm all for decoupling altogether. But it seems to me like there's got to be a starting place. And it would seem that high end technology and probably drugs are the two places where we're going to want to get out from under that relationship.
Right, John. And so help me navigate this. We hear a lot of very boisterous complaints, and I'm going to particularly pick on the right, saying, you know, we're so dependent on China, we have to go. At the same time, during the American Rescue Act, there was money put in there to build chips in the United States. In fact, they're going to build some of those transistor chips right here in St. Louis. All the Republicans voted against it. How do we go and take an industry that's so vital to us, which are these microchips, and say, hey, we need to bring them back to the United States, and here we are. We had a president who had a plan. It did pass. But the same people who are saying we need to separate from China wouldn't go out there and incentivize and support those to make it work.
Well, I think incentivize is different than handing over money. And where I think my team argues with the American Rescue Act, whatever you want to call it, is it's inflationary and it's just tossing money around. I would much rather see government policy incent businesses to manufacture in the United States. And there's a host of ways to do that. There's capital gains reform. There are tax incentives, tax credits even, that can be given. And it's six of one, half a dozen of the other, perhaps. But I think that incenting private businesses to do the right thing will result in the right thing more often than just simply tossing some dollars at them.
kind of off of topic, but right on topic, if you will.
I will.
Isn't this really coming down to the fact that China and the United States, and you know, I'd throw the Ukrainian situation and to a lesser degree, but some degree, the Israeli situation, isn't this really all about China pushing forward and Russia helping and Iran helping, saying we are sick of the United States being the currency of the world, yep. leaders of the world, thought leaders of the world.
Yeah.
And they're moving forward with all of this stuff, yet we are so dependent on these folks. It's going to be hard for us to separate ourselves, but we do, we are Americans. We can find a way through this. We always have.
Yep.
And isn't that better for the long-term stability of our own country?
I think it is. And don't forget, China is every bit as dependent upon the American consumer as we are on them. I mean, that's going to be difficult. The one thing these nations all have in common, whether it be Vladimir Putin or Xi in China, the Hamas militants in Palestine, the imams in Iran, Kim Jong-un in North Korea, the one thing, that the common theme that runs through all of them is that they are all dictatorial thugs, every last one of them. They are dictators. They are violent. And that really is the difference in the world today. There's a democratic impulse to live free in democracy, in giving the maximum liberty to people. And there are these authoritarian dictator thugs. Those are the two sides in the world today, and we're on the right side today of that line. But there's a lot of authoritarian tendencies in the United States as we wake up this morning.
Right, and there's lots of folks saying, hey, you know, we've got to separate from China. Why is it that Vladimir Putin is not seen as the same threat that he was in the 80s or is giving the same threatening language that we see folks using as it relates to Xi in China?
I think that when the Soviet Union was dissolved, now 30 years ago plus, I think that Russia was viewed as less of a significant threat. I think that was wrong. I mean, you look what they're doing in Ukraine, and Joe Biden, you know, like him, hate him, whatever, he is right about if you let Russia walk through Ukraine and seize that country, they are not going to stop there. Now, I don't know that they go to a NATO country immediately like the president was assuming. I think I could see them going south into Montenegro. That's not a NATO ally, but it's part of the old Soviet empire. But anybody that thinks that Vladimir Putin's designs are going to somehow change if we just let him have Ukraine, that is the height of naivety.
Well, for those of you who've listened to KMOX for a while, you know Charlie Brennan's been on a crusade as it relates to people not getting their car license plates registered, and that aggravates him. It aggravates Hancock and Kelly. But there's another thing going on with automobiles that aggravates you and I as well.
Very nefarious activity going on out there, and we'll talk about it next.
KMOX, the 2023 Large Market Radio Station of the Year, recognized by the Missouri Broadcasters Association. KMOX, we were built for this.
Well, we go now to the driving expert of the Hancock and Kelly Show, none other than John Hancock. By the way, great job parking in the parking garage today.
Well, I took 3 shots at it.
Yeah, good job.
I got right in there. I didn't hit the truck next to me. It was a Camel X truck. I didn't want to hit that.
No.
But something has come to my attention, Michael.
Please share.
And it is, I think, on the verge of unconscionable. It should be illegal. I'm seeing these things popping up everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Driving down Clayton Road, there's one.
Uh-huh.
Parking the other day at the Pink Galleon, there's another one.
Wow.
In our very own parking lot here at the Voice of St. Louis, where people come to work.
Uh-huh.
Adult people come to work.
Right.
There's one in the parking lot.
What is it?
It says on the back windshield, permit driver.
What does that even mean?
It means you don't have a driver's license. And I guarantee you, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people out there traversing our streets with a permit driver sign in the back of their window who are not permit drivers.
It sure feels that way, but help me understand. Like, I understand people who are running around with the things not paying for their license plates. What are they getting from that? They're not having to give the government the money to be able to pay for their car. What
advantage do you have running around with a sticker that says you don't have a driver's license?
Now you've asked the operative question,
Mike. Yes.
There can only be several reasons.
Okay.
A, they don't want to get pulled over.
Well, so cops don't pull over permit drivers? They're like, oh, well, this guy's a nitwit because he doesn't have a license. I'm going to let him go.
Taking his little lesson right now. He's the fact that he's swerving all over the lane there at 2 in the morning. He's a permit driver. So that would be one reason.
Okay. All right.
Second reason.
All right.
Nobody bothers you.
Ah.
You see another car out there. You know, somebody, don't you hate it when somebody, like, gets right in your back window there?
Right, right.
What do they call that? Tailgating.
Tailgating on you. Oh, so you think the permit driver makes people say, let's give these people some distance.
I'm not messing with that guy.
Yeah, okay.
He's barely old enough to turn the wheel.
He can't even see over the wheel.
So nobody messes with you when you're out there. So you're not getting pulled over by the cops.
Okay.
Nobody's messing with you. And you've got this thing on the back. And look. Kids today aren't even getting their driver's license. 16-year-old kids, 17-year-old, they're not.
No, I hear that.
Because they've got they're on their little phone. All they can talk to their friends on their phone or whatever they're doing.
They don't have to go see each other.
They don't have to get in the car and go see each other. So I guarantee you there are not that many permit drivers out there. And by what authority are you able to put a permit driver on your back windshield?
Well, here would be a hypothesis
4-6-7-900, 1-800-925-1120.
Here's what I think. Yeah. I think the same people who give away the emotional support dog stuff for the airport are the same people who are handing out the permit drivers. Because all of a sudden, everybody needs emotional help with their dog, and they're flying on an airplane, and everybody's a permitted driver. But I've never gotten it. Now, I do keep distance from people who say permit driver.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that person's
new. You assume it's a 16-year-old kid driving the car for maybe the first time ever.
But is there
on the
other
roads.
Do you think cops really look the other way from a permit driver? I would think they'd be looking to get in on those.
Well,
folks.
So here's my next question, Michael.
Okay.
So here you got this conspiracy out there. There are people handing these things. Can you just go buy them at Walmart?
Yeah. Well,
just go buy a permit driver, slap it in the window.
Sure.
Is there no penalty for lying about your status as a driver? If you're sitting there in the driver's seat of a car,
right,
with a driver's license in your billfold, and you're sporting a permit driver sign on your back windshield, that should be punishable by at least a fine, if not prison.
Well, there you go. And maybe the same guys who are out busting everybody for not, you know, paying their license fees can get the permit drivers at the same. Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody's getting those folks.
Nobody gets anybody. And we're just this loosely letting people wander around out there, call themselves. They're identifying. That's what it is. They have identified as a permit driver.
Really?
And we're all for that these days. If you want to identify as a permit driver.
You identify as a bad driver.
I am a bad driver.
Maybe you need a permit.
I don't have a permit. I have a license.
I'm going to get you a permit sticker.
It did take me a little bit to figure out the whole parallel parking thing. Apparently, they've got cars now.
What?
But you press the button and it parallel parks for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's been coming for a while. And I think people like you are necessitated that. The reason for that.
I will drive around the block 6 times. When I have a meeting,
John,
and out by you in the Central West End, where everything's on the street, I will leave 12 minutes early because I figure I'm going to have to drive around the block 5 or 6 times before I can.
True.
Find a parking spot right there.
And for those of you who think this is bluster, the stuff I say about Hancock and that he says about his driving, it is 100% true. I have no doubt that it took him 3 attempts to get the car into the lines today
in the perfect manner. But it looks good.
And let me just tell you, when we walk out there today to head out to go to Snooker, he'll look at me and he'll do the same thing he does when he wins against Snooker. He'll go, hey, Kel. You see the parking job I did there?
Well,
like he's a permit driver who needs some praise for the fact that he put it between the lines.
I do need to get that dent fixed on the passenger door, though.
Well,
I got that from the side of my garage.
Well, if anybody can ever explain to us the permit driver thing, it would be helpful. If there's some special considerations that come with being a permit driver,
it's an abuse.
I'd like to know. I'd consider putting one of those on my car if it was going to give me some special consideration. You know, the people who buy the stickers all the time that say, oh, yeah, I gave to the police, athletic, thinking that's going to help them.
when they're going by the cop at 90 miles an hour. Yeah, right.
Proud of my Eagle Scout. That's another one. That'll keep you from getting
How about babies
over.
On board? Huh?
Yeah,
that's a good one,
with
too.
With a permit driver. Put both of those back there. You'll have everybody upset.
And my kid's an honor roll student, too. Yeah. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, what a kid.
Buddy, that's it. I'll see Chris you Sunday morning at 8:30, right?
Chris and Amy. Want to thank James O'Sullivan. Doing a great job, Frank Ladd.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.